Hey guys, it's Tamir here on the Hack Your Marketing podcast. Today we're going to talk about growth and sacrifice in differentiation because brands often lose their ability to stay unique and through their desire to get bigger. So as brands often, you know, they want to grow, they want to scale, they often lose their uniqueness. So how do you keep that uniqueness? That's what we want to analyze today. And growth really affects differentiation in two really key ways. Number one, the company becomes distracted. So often what will happen is a company will pursue that 10%, 15% a year top line growth, and they'll ignore niche markets. And there's a problem with this, because what happens is disruption can actually come in from a lot of these niche markets, as we learned from a book called The Innovator's Dilemma. And so big companies also need to pay attention to those niche markets for their future growth and really focus their efforts on growing what makes them unique and focus on their core. The second thing that how growth negatively affects differentiation is that a company will often overextend its product line. So in an effort to pursue sort of endless growth, companies fall into that line extension trap where they try to hang their brand in as many unrelated categories as possible to grow. For example, McDonald's in the 70s and 80s, they had built that, you know, super successful business selling, you know, high-speed hamburgers and cheeseburgers. And the company suddenly decided to branch out into pizza, chicken, and kids' menus. And what they found is their growth actually started to slow. And it's only when they started to take away some of those items that they started to grow at a much faster rate again. So it's how do you, you know, when you're pursuing that growth, how do you maintain your focus on your core values and your core business? And it tends to be that the more you add, the more at risk you are of undermining your basic differentiation. So the other thing we want to look at is, you know, especially if we want to grow our organization around the world, you know, become a global company, how do we stand out and how do we deal with differentiation when we're dealing with global markets? And the first idea is that, you know, the current idea might be the wrong idea. Like, for example, Coke inexplicably got this wrong when it tried to enter the Russian market with their slogan, "The Real Thing." But they found that didn't really resonate with the Russian consumer. And they found that when they brought the slogan, "Drink the Legend," and going back to the roots and authenticity, highlighting that attribute is what resonated with the consumer there. So what resonates with the consumer in the United States might not be what resonates in Russia or in China or somewhere else. So the current idea, you might actually have to change the attribute you promote depending on the competition in that market and the different factors and the perceptions that exist in that market. The other thing you need to realize is that attributes change when you cross borders. So, for example, in Mexico, Corona is really considered like a humble, low-rent brand of beer. You can pick up a six-pack in Mexico City for about $3. But in America, you know, you're looking at between $8 to $10 for a six-pack. And it's got kind of a persona of like a spring break, palm trees, drink with lime image. It's got a much higher end image in America. And it just shows you, you know, when you cross that border, when you go from Mexico to the United States, there really is a huge different perception of Corona in the mind of the consumer. The other thing is your market leadership might not translate to a global market. For example, Nescafe is Nestle's top selling coffee brand in the world, except in India, because in India, the company has created a sub brand called Sunrise, and it's made with something called chicory, which is a local Indian spice, to give it a familiar flavor, and it actually outsells the flagship brand. So what might really stand your product out in one country might be completely different in another. And then your heritage might not be respected. For example, like Kellogg's found out when it, you know, it promoted, you know, it being like this, you know, decade-old brand name in breakfast food. But when they did that in India, they found that, you know, the campaigns really weren't accepted. Because in India, actually hot food is preferred for breakfast. So, you know, heritage wasn't something that they cared about. So you've really got to bear in mind that, you know, these different perceptions in consumers' mind exist as you move to a global market. The other thing you've got to realize is that your speciality may get blurred. For example, Lux in Indonesia, it's a soap. In China, Taiwan, it's a shampoo. In Japan, it's a bath. And for example, you know, you look at Honda cars, you know, Honda cars, that we think of Honda as a car brand in the United States, but in Japan, you know, if you try to release a Honda car, it wouldn't do as well because they're considered as a bike brand. So you really got to realize that your attributes do change as you cross borders. And then the other thing you want to think about, you know, when you are going global, when you are, you know, expanding your brand abroad is, you know, are top management really in charge? Are they really taking the lead on you know, making sure that the differentiation strategy is communicated throughout the organization and it's consistent, especially with the different markets? And really, top management is really responsible for this. And it's not something that you can just, you know, go and hire a, you know, an external agency. I'll hire this Facebook agency and I'll trust them to do the adverts. No, it really, all the team have to be on the same page, and that kind of starts top down to make sure that, you know, the strategy from a marketing strategy, from a regional standpoint, it's all aligned. And I'm gonna actually finish the podcast with this today. So in 1966, Peter Drucker defined leadership as thinking through the organization's mission, defining it and establishing it clearly and visibly. And that kind of ties back to the point of top management, making sure that the mission is communicated. But nowadays, in the age of killer competition, the foundation of leadership could be redefined slightly as thinking through an organization's difference, its unique selling point, defining it and establishing it clearly and visibly for the whole organization. So just making sure that everybody is on the same page from a marketing standpoint of exactly what the unique thing is within each market. So anyway, that's some things you guys can use to definitely grow and scale globally. Have a great day, and I hope you enjoyed the podcast. See you next time.
The podcast you just heard was published with Anchor. Got something you want to say to the creator of this show? Send them a voice message using the Anchor app, free for iOS and Android.